and a child. Holy and righteous God, we thank you. We especially thank you this morning for our children, our youth, our young children, those who teach them, their parents, Lord God, who bring them to church. We thank you. We know a church without children is a church without hope, and so we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy upon us, and that you would continue to bless us with this gift. And our Lord God, as we have come on this Christ the King Day, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We praise him and we glorify his name. And now, Lord God, as I stand before you, put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are refuge and our strength. You are Savior and Lord. Amen. It's wonderful to be here among you. It's wonderful to have children in service. Could you imagine if we never had any children here? It's a blessing, isn't it? Thanks be to God. My sermon title today is Loving Jesus Through Loving Others. Loving Jesus Through Loving Others. And how important that is for us who are Christians, that we remember that when we love others, we love Jesus. And today, you know, you look in the front of your bulletin, we call it Christ the King Day. It is Christ the King, and one of the songs we'll sing at the end is, All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Crown him, Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. When we sing that today, later on at the end of the service, can you imagine Christ looking down from heaven and smiling? And crown him, ye chosen seed of Israel race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who save you and me by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. He is our Lord of lords and King of kings, the conquering Lion of Judah. That's what the scripture says. He is the one. Christ the King Sunday celebrates the all-embracing authority of Christ as King and Lord of the cosmos, officially called the Feast of Our Lord Jesus Christ the King. It is celebrated on the Sunday, the final Sunday of ordinary times. Now, I know if you're not very liturgical, you know you don't know the seasons. I'm going to do a piece on that for the next newsletter I do, and I will. And ordinary times, we're at end of ordinary times, at end of the green period. Have you ever noticed these lovely things here? Today's Christ, the altar guild does such a beautiful job in our church to do this, Kathy and them. Do you see how beautiful that is? We give God thanks for that, right? Kathy did that, the altar guild. And this is Christ the King Sunday, and we wear white. Do you see? White and gold, Christ the King. Right? Christ the King. And ordinary times are finished. Right, after Pentecost, through now we are at ordinary times wherein the scriptures are about the work of the Lord. We see his miracles, we see his life, and so on. It's a green period. It's the longest period. It's always green. And then we have this day that is Christ the King, and next week is Advent. And Advent is going to change to be either purple or blue. And I love the blue, but we don't tend to use blue so much, because a lot of our paraments, many of our churches are paraments. But the blue, the purple means royalty, that he's king. And Advent is what? The expectation, the coming again of Christ. But today we are celebrating Christ the King, because it will be coming. And so the altar guild will be changing the colors again. They do a good job doing that, don't they? And so at the conclusion of the Christmas year, the church gives thanks and praise for the sovereignty of Christ, who is Lord of all creation and is coming again in glory to reign. And we see that in the Revelation text that was read by the young people, reminding us that he will come again. He will come again, Christ the King. Right? That's a lectionary scripture, but I came out of the lectionary today to read the Matthew text, because it is so, this Matthew text is so important for us as Thanksgiving, to be reminded of what we have and what we have, what we don't, what others don't have and what we have. And so today, as we think of Advent, Christ the King, I'm going to read this little reflection on, it's called, getting ready for a visit from Jesus. Getting ready for a visit from Jesus. I read another one earlier. It was a little bit hard, you know, tugged at your heart. This one will probably give you a smile, but think on it. Author Doug Mendenhall shares a brief parable that should cause all of us to pause and reflect. And it says, Jesus called the other day to say he was passing through and wondered if he could spend a day or two with us. I said, sure, love to see you. When will you hit town? I mean, it's Jesus, you know, and it's not every day you get a chance to visit with him. Well, we do. It's not like it's your in-laws and you have to stop and decide whether the advantages outweigh your having to move to the sleeper sofa. That's when Jesus told me he was actually at a convenience store out by the interstate. I must have forgotten that Bambi looked in the headlights that I looked a little bit crazed because my wife hissed, what is it? What's wrong? Who is that? So I covered the receiver and told her Jesus was coming to arrive in 8 minutes. And she ran out of the room and started giving guidance to the kids in that effective way that Marine drill instructors give guidance to recruits. My mind was already racing with what needed to be done in the next 8 or 7 minutes, so Jesus wouldn't think we were reprobate loser slobs. I turned off the TV in the den, which was blaring some weird, scary movie I'd been half watching. But I could still hear screams from our bedroom, so I turned off the reality show it was tuned to. Plus, I turned off the kids' set out on the sun porch, because I didn't want to have to explain John and Kate plus 8 to Jesus, either 6 minutes from now. My wife had already thinned out the magazine that had been accumulating on the coffee table. She put Christianity Today on top for good first impression. 5 minutes to go. I looked out the front window, but the yard actually looked great, thanks to my long, hard work, so I let it go. What could I improve in 4 minutes anyway? I did notice the mail had come, so I ran out to grab it. Mostly it was Netflix in envelopes and a bunch of catalogs tied into recent purchases, so I stuffed it back in the box. Jesus doesn't need to get the wrong idea. 3 minutes from now, about how much online shopping we do. We don't want Jesus to know that we shop online all the time. I ran back in and I picked up a bunch of shoes left by the door. Tried to stuff them in the front closet, but it was overflowing with heavy coats and work coats and snow coats and pretty coats and rain coats and extra coats. We live in the South. Why did we buy so many coats? I squeezed the shoes in with 2 minutes to go. I plumped up the sofa pillows. My wife tossed dishes into the sink. I scolded the kids, and she shooed the dog. With 1 minute left, I realized something important. Getting ready for a visit from Jesus is not an 8-minute job. Then the doorbell rang. Jesus was at the door. My sisters and brothers, if we're going to wait till Jesus is showing up to get ready for Jesus, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. It's going to take more than 8 minutes. It takes a lifetime. It takes a life that have accepted Christ and that continues to serve Christ. You see, I do not think Jesus wants us to do all that to get ready for his visit. He doesn't want us to have to clean the house and get rid of the Netflix magazine and stop watching the Kardashians and all of that on TV. I know nobody here does that. Nobody here knows who the Kardashian is anyhow. You know, Jesus wants us to do day by day living for him. Day by day serving him. We can't clean up enough to welcome Jesus in a king's fashion, but we can serve him through serving others. We cannot do enough. Christ Jesus is still among us, and he tugs at our heartstrings whether we want him to or not. Sometimes, I said earlier, we roll our eyes or try to shut him out in many different ways. We try to, Jesus, leave me alone, please. I don't want to do anything else. But that doesn't stop Jesus. He still keeps tugging and even pulling at us. By now, we know that Jesus, the Christ, is no pushover. It's not easy to get rid of. He's a king who completes the job, because he completed the finished work on the cross. So now, church, we don't have to do all of that work just to get ready for him. We don't even have to make the beds, because he doesn't care. He already knows that we never make the beds, some of us. He knows that we don't always pick up off the floor. He already knows that there's no secret from Jesus. Yet he loves us so much that he would die for us. That's what Christ the King Sunday reminds us. So in this gospel text, Matthew 25:31-46, Jesus gives us the criteria for judgment, the criterion for judgment. What he expects from his believers and followers. He's not leaving us confused. The Bible is left to give us wisdom and knowledge and guidance. We've got a book that has been written a long time, and it gives us guidance. We just have to read it, look at it sometimes, or listen to the preacher who's preaching from the book. The book. You know, that book tells us things sometimes we don't want to hear. He tells me things I don't want to hear. I think sometimes when people think we preach, preachers, I'll speak for myself, is because I've got the answer and I'm doing so well with the Lord. It's not true. Half of the time I'm preaching, I'm repenting as I'm preaching. I am asking God in my heart, forgive me, I really didn't do what I just said, but will you give me another chance? So we're all working process, right? When I'm telling you to be kind, who knows if I've been very kind to the person the other day, but I'm working on it. And so Jesus in this text says, come, you that are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well read by Megan. For I was hungry and you gave me food. He gave us a list. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. Now, I was in prison and you visited me. And here's another one that is real key to this. He says, I was a stranger. He didn't say I was your neighbor or your son or your daughter or your friend. I was a stranger. That means you didn't know me. I didn't look like you. I didn't follow the rules. I'm not, you know, don't speak the same language. I don't speak good English. I didn't go to the same school. But you welcomed me. I was a stranger. And when I had no clothing, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you came to see about me. When I was in prison, you visited me. Then the righteous will say to him, Lord, 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 when was it that I saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to the least of them who are members of my family. All of them, the least of them and the best of them, and those in between like me, the part of his family. When you do it to them, you do it unto me. And so here is this list that Jesus has given us, and we cannot do everything on the list. No one person can do everything on the list, and God is not expecting us to do everything on the list. One person. That's not the criteria here. He's expecting us to find something on the list that we could do. Now, Jim alluded to it today. He spoke about it in his thing, that about our church. God is expecting us who are Christian believers and followers of Jesus Christ to do something. But here's the good news this morning. Here's the good news, brothers and sisters. We have something called the church. The church. And what one can't do, all of us can do together. We empower the food pantry to give food, don't we? To giving for those roast chickens, or bring our clothes and people could get closer. We are empowering the church to do and to give. That's what Thanksgiving is about. We are empowering the church daily, together, church. When we go to visit the sick, we are empowered through our church. I visit the sick because I represent this church and the church of Jesus Christ. There are times I may not want to go. I don't feel like going. A little bit tired at times, but I know Christ expects me to push and to go because I represent the church of Jesus Christ. That's what it means for us, huh? Because I've been blessed of the Lord. We go to prison to visit because the church can do it together. Not individually, but collectively. And so church, we together, because the church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is a people. You and me together can empower our church to do more in our community. Amen. This church, as Jim said, has empowered the youths, our youths. That our youths now have gone to 3 different times to the VA hospitals. They may not understand everything about war. They may not understand why people die and men and women lose their limbs and their arms to give us freedom and protection. They may not get the full magnitude of it, but they go to serve because with Dana and Ricky and all of those who work with them, we say, go forth and serve. Amen. And so they go to serve through the church. Come on now. Huh? For I was in the veterans hospital and some little girl or boy came and brought a sweater for me. Isn't that what God wants us to do through our church? People get mad with their church and walk away and they get their back up and they act as if they're punishing the church, but they are punishing themselves because they are not able to fulfill what God has asked them to do. We will have to stand before God. Come on, church. Each and every one of us on that day when we meet Christ and hear, what have you done for my church? What did you do for your neighbor? What did you do for the stranger? We have to stand and give an account to God. And he doesn't want us to be confused. Huh? He doesn't want us to. He's telling us what we must do. Feed the hungry. We empower them. We have done Sandy recovery here. We are empowered to do it, and we did it as a team. There are many things we have done here, this church, because we are the church of Jesus Christ. And this is what this text is reminding us for today. And listen now, when we know that we have been blessed of the Lord, as Jim told us today, when we know we have been blessed of the Lord, we must have gratitude and pay it forward. We are supposed to pay it forward. Give back something. And when we have given and we could afford, we give some more. We give some more. We say, Lord, you blessed me this year. Nobody in my family was sick, or even that there were, you took care of them. Nobody was such and such. I still got my kids. I have problems. I've got ups and downs. But you've still been God all by yourself, and there's none like you, and there's none but you. And I'm depending on you for next year. And so you look at it and it says, I've given this and I could give a little bit more. To what? To my church. Because the local church is empowered to do the work of the Lord. What one person cannot do, we can do together, amen, church. When we can't afford it by ourselves, if I take my penny, put with your 2 pennies, it's now 3 pennies. It is not just 1 penny. And that 3 penny can now make a difference in the world. Because we as Methodist United, Methodist Christian believers, our mission statement says that we should make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's what our mission, make disciples. We are not just called to have fun. We are not just called to go out and eat as we should. We're Methodists, and that is the mark of our faith. We love to eat. And it's a good thing. Right? Fellowship and food is a good thing. We're going to be having some later. But the idea is we are called for more, and it's not that difficult for us. He's not asking us to sell our houses and our clothes and our land. He's saying, join up with this group of folks we call church. Put it together. And together we could make a difference. Together we could change the world. We could make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Come on now. Don't you want to be part of that movement? That's a great movement, isn't it? When we say to a young person on Friday night, as tired as I get, and I have to always get down there, says Dana, find somebody else who's grown. So weary. And they're running and playing and they're having fun. And then we tell them about Jesus. And Mike has been doing a good job with them. And Dana and Ricky, and they do the service and all of that. And you hear them get up and they sing a song about Jesus. And they do. And you say, yes, we are planting a seed in the heart of a child. One seed, one child, one day at a time through Hicksville United Methodist Church. When God, when I stand before the Lord, He will say, Marjorie, I know you were there to plant one seed. Akia, you were there to plant one seed. He doesn't need just to plant a field. Together we could plant a field, but each of us could plant one seed. And we do it to our local church. So I encourage you, my beloved of Christ, to bless your local church, this church. Because this church is a good steward of what you give it. Whatever you give it, it is used for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Nobody can touch it and mess with it. Not even me. Which is a good thing. Because you know, there are churches where folks could, pastors could run off with the people's money. You know that I'm not lying. It was in the newspaper the other day. But in this church, a Methodist church, everything is up and up. There's transparency first before God with our finance committee and our treasurer. Everything is up and up. You are handed over and given part of what God has blessed you with into the hands of some folks who are serving the Lord at the top because God is watching. And then we take what you give us to maintain this place and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's it. And so when we all get to heaven, and we will one day, we will hear, welcome, for I was hungry, and you fed me. For I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you came. You're going to be like the man there. Lord, when did I do that? Lord, when did I do that? When did I do that? And he'll just take your hand and whisper and says, when you gave to your church and they were able to feed someone. Huh? When you opened up the doors and they were able to do something, you did it to the least of them. And then you did it unto me. Come on, our church. We have a responsibility and an opportunity to pay it forward on this Christ the King Day. Because we are the hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. Don't let him be hungry if we can feed somebody. Each time we feed someone, we feed Christ. Come on, church. Each time we go visit the sick, we visit Christ. Each time we go to the prison to look for someone, we go see Christ. Because he's where the weakest is. And the lonely. Each time we grieve with someone who's lost a loved one, and we show up to say, God loves you, we're doing it because of Jesus Christ and through this church. And so we want this church to continue to be this beacon of light in the world right here that could continue to make disciples for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.